teaching ministry of Pastor Debbie Eberly. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Turn to Galatians chapter 3, and we're familiar with this, but we have to stir ourselves up. There's some other things I want to get to, but this just seemed right to start in verse 10, chapter 3 and verse 10, because this is a crucial segment of Galatians. Now, Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, and there was a region there and several churches that he was writing this book to, and I'll give you some more reasons why he wrote the book, but let's read in verse 10, for as many as are of works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Aren't you glad we're not under the law anymore? Amen. We're under the age of grace. But we still have to be obedient. Verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by what?
Faith.
We've been talking about faith quite a bit. Amen. Verse 12, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Guys, if you can turn me down just a little bit. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. We've been redeemed. Amen. That word means that we've been bought with the price of Jesus Christ's blood. Amen. So you don't have to come by works and say, okay, God, I've been good this week. Can I have healing? Because he's already paid the price for that healing for you. All you have to do is pick it up.
Yes.
Amen. Well, you say, well, I wish it'd be working in me. Well, it's not by wishing. It's by faith. Our faith picks it up, accesses it, and applies it to the situation. Amen. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I want you to go to verse 16 of chapter 2, just back up a little bit. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Amen. And I want you to go to chapter 3. And verse 24, chapter 3, verse 24. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, the word for tutor is very interesting. In my margin for verse 24, it says, in a household, the guardian is responsible for the care and discipline of the children. So it's saying, therefore, the law was a tutor or it's a guardian to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Amen. Let's go up to verse 14. I know I'm going all around, but I'm going somewhere. Verse 14 in chapter 3, that the blessing of Abraham, say Abraham,
Abraham,
might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, Abraham actually was on the scene before the law, but he lived by faith. Amen. The law came because there was sin. There was transgression in the world. And that law was a tutor. That law was a guardian to help guide us to do the right thing. But that wasn't going to take us to heaven. We needed a Savior. You know, you had to kill a bull and go to the sacrifices and do these things to append for sin. But through Christ, it's through his blood. We don't have to make that sacrifice anymore. And it's through faith. It's through faith that we come. And we're just like Abraham. He was a man of faith. And it was imputed to him for righteousness, it said, because he was a man that believed God. And even though the law came, it wasn't what we needed to save us. It was just what led us to Christ. Christ came and did away with the law. Now, there's some reasons, but I'm not going to go there yet. Now, let's go back to the first chapter of Galatians. I just wanted to get that. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We're not trying to have a works program every day. We're not trying to, you know, it's not by what we've done good that we're healed. Now, there are things, if you're disobedient, sometimes the bridge to healing is out. So you need to be obedient, you understand. But it's not by our good works that we're healed. Jesus already paid the price. He already provided healing. All we have to do is say, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. And we just feed on that every day, and we thank God it's working in us. And like we learned about, was that on Sunday? If we endure, our faith endures. And what do we have if we endure? The promise. Amen. So it's not by our good works. It's not by your good looks. It's not by a special gifts or talents that you have. Now, so the book of Galatians, as I was reading and studying, you know, the introduction I was reading, some of that was very interesting. I can learn some things by this. It said the Galatians, having launched their Christian experience by faith, seemed content to leave their voyage of faith and chart a new course based on works. A course Paul finds disturbing. His letter to the Galatians is a vigorous attack against the gospel of works and a defense of the gospel of faith. And it goes on to talk about some other things. But Paul was upset. He found out that they were trying to, you know, actually there were men and women among them that were saying, hey, you have to be circumcised. You know, just like the Jews. They were telling people, Jews, Gentiles, like, you've got to be circumcised like us in order to make it into the kingdom of God. And Paul was upset. He was ticked off. Now, in chapter 1, verse 1, I'm not going to read the whole book, okay? Pray for me. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Paul, an apostle. Let's go to verse 3, actually. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. Let's go on to verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I marvel. Let's look at Galatians 4:9. Galatians 4:9. Paul says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Why are you turning back? You know, we've learned about not turning back to perdition or to destruction. That's what Hebrews 10 says. And Paul was saying, why are you turning back? Why are you listening to these people that are shooting down what the true gospel says? I mean, we could say this about several things. Who are we listening to? What are we listening to? What is the spirit that it's from? Well, I just love people. I just want to hear what they have to say. Well, my friend, my ear is not a trash can. And if people are not saying what's in line with the Word of God, I don't have to say, you know, shut up. I can go in the other room. I can separate myself from that. And Paul was saying, hey, there are people coming in, and your faith is precious. Your faith is important, and it's important that you not open your ear to everything that's out there in the Netherlands. Amen? I marvel. I'm amazed. He was their spiritual father. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from those things that I've been laboring and preaching and teaching for years. I marvel how easily it's understandable that baby Christians can be taken away. That's why Paul told Timothy, I pray that Christ be formed in you. Talking about the congregation, especially the young ones. We need to pray that Christ be formed in them. But the ones that have been sitting here year after year after, and I'm not hitting you over the head with the Bible, okay? I'm just preaching the word to you. But it's amazing. We sit here week after week after week, and then we go over to some special meeting, you know, with Miss Prophetess so-and-so. And I'm not, you know, prophets are of God. Prophetesses are of God. But then when we hear something that's just not quite right, but we override it. And then we go over here, You know, we just want to check it all out. And Paul's saying, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Let's go on down to verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul wasn't out to please people. He was to give them the pure word of God. That's what Pastor Jay, you know, it's a good thing when people are pleased when you preach, but even if they aren't, we're going to preach the word. Amen. We're going to be consistent. You know, I'm in counseling sometimes, and somebody, they tell me what they have on their heart, and sometimes I come back and say, well, that's not in line with the word of God. That's not pleasing them. But I'm not there to please him. I'm not there to for itching ears. I'm not there to pacify. I'm there to help you. Amen. To get the eyes back on the word of God. And that's what Paul was doing. Now, let's go on to verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted, this is Paul, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. In other words, he wasn't a Christian before, but zealously as a Jew without Christ, he thought that killing Christians and doing away with this new gospel was the right thing to do. But he had a revelation of Jesus Christ himself, and Jesus stopped him on the road, and a bright light came and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And I'm imagining saying, well, Lord, I've been helping you. I'm all these things are going on, you know. He said, Lord. He thought that he was his God, his Lord. He didn't know that he hadn't received Jesus in his heart yet. He didn't know he even needed to take that step. He thought, zealously, I'm doing the right thing. How many times we're zealous without the backing of God's word, without the backing of the Spirit of God? We're zealous to do the right thing, but it goes off and it goes astray because there's no word in it. But Jesus said, you're kicking against the pricks, Paul. In other words, you're hindering me. And that's not going to happen. You go that direction, and buddy, you're going out. The Lord doesn't like his gospel to be hindered. People get out there and, you know, they think that they're doing a good job to help God and find out that the very thing they're doing is hindering his work. The very gossip, the very criticisms, the very persecution that's coming out of their mouth is hindering the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be among that group. I don't want to be among the group of the offended. I don't want to be among those who would put themselves in the way of the gospel and somebody, a young one, that would fall away because my words are zealous for the wrong thing, for the wrong reasons. On down to verse 23 of chapter 1 in Galatians. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. People began to hear this Paul who was destroying the church, this Paul who was killing Christians, this very man turned his life around, and they glorified God in this new miracle. Isn't it amazing when people can look at your life and say, oh my goodness, that person is affecting the kingdom of God. They used to go that direction. Yeah. They weren't affecting the kingdom. But now, oh my goodness, their words are words of love. Their words are words of faith. When they get around me, they're not talking about everybody and trying to persecute. They have an agenda only to help the gospel? What's our agenda? Paul was ticked off. Paul was upset because men and women had come infiltrated the church. Let's go on into chapter 2 in verse 4. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. They were having a meeting and there were guys there that they weren't there to get preached to. They weren't there to get helped. They weren't there for the word and the spirit. They were simply there to accuse. If they just say something, something that I can get to take. And their spirit is of a wrong spirit. Maybe they've so-called received Jesus Christ, but they're not helping him. We've known personally ministers that will watch live stream of Dr. Dufresne or even Dad Hagen when he was alive, Pastor Hagen, you know, ministers, even our own services will watch so that they can find something that we're doing wrong. Well, what about watching so that you can find something that we're doing right? How about helping each other out? How about having a heart and an attitude? Oh, God, if they did say something that didn't bear witness because it wasn't in the Word, I'm going to pray for them, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray the Ephesians prayers. I pray those Ephesians prayers for people usually every day. Sometimes I take a day off from it and just pray for myself. Amen. But usually every day I pray the Ephesians prayers. Amen. Oh God, strengthen them by the Holy Ghost in their inner man, that Christ may dwell in their heart through faith. Amen. Being rooted and grounded in the love of God. Amen. I don't pray, oh God, send a storm down and kill them all. I don't like the way Pastor Debbie corrected me. So, Lord, just send a lightning bolt down. I mean, people may not say that, but their words and their actions. Yeah, and they'd be happy because if that happened, then they could say, yeah, I was right. And we're praying for them. I have to keep myself from that attitude, trust me. I'm praying for them. God, I don't want them to be in dangerous territory. But when people are coming against the body of Christ, taking away, kicking against the pricks, persecuting the very thing that Christ died for, when they are doing that, they're putting themselves in an extreme harm's way. They may be our family, they may be friends, but my friend, it makes no difference. We can pray for them, we can plead for them, but they have to make a choice. Am I going to go this direction or am I going to go this direction? The whole book of Galatians is talking about, are we going to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ or are we going to go with tradition? Amen. Hallelujah. So again, in that chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by what?
Faith
in Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now we know, actually, let's go to... talks about verse 19. I'm getting ahead of myself. I won't go there yet. I want you to turn to James. Turn to James. Well, praise the Lord. Are you excited to be here tonight? James chapter 2, verse 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, we know that we're justified by faith, and Paul emphasizes that in the letter, but let's use the whole counsel of the Word of God. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to do anything. And what's the primary work? Well, in Galatians, it talks about faith works by love. And Paul goes into that, and I'll talk more about that. So the primary work is to walk in love. Use your faith by loving people.
Amen.
Amen. So that's a primary work. Is that not right? In chapter 4 of James, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your what? Your pleasures or your lust. Does that sound like they're walking in love? No, it sounds like they're walking by their fleshly, carnal nature. The man that's supposed to be dead in Christ. But obviously, he's not so dead. He's alive that day. And they're fighting. And they're saying things that they shouldn't. And they're giving their opinions that aren't edifying. And it says, you do not have because you do not ask. In other words, your faith's not working. Your faith's not working because you're in offense. I'm just preaching the word. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, real quickly. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. He's not commending them. He's not pacifying them. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I'm of Paul, of another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers to whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase.
Amen.
And back to Galatians again, if you'll turn there, Paul was saying, look, it's not he who's circumcised. It's not he who's uncircumcised. That's not, you don't have to be circumcised to receive Jesus into your heart.
That's
of the law. We're not under the law. We're under the age of grace. Christ came, remember? So they were zealous about this gospel, but it was creating strife. It was creating divisions, and it wasn't even the word of God. I mean, some people, they think, well, they've got their pet doctrine scripture that they want to use, but this wasn't even gospel. It's just their tradition. It's what they thought. It's what they were used to. But when Christ came, the veil was torn in two. And no more the law, but it was back to the faith of Abraham. By faith we're righteous, not by works. The law only came as a tutor. Remember, the law only came, but it wasn't what would save us. That's why Christ had to come. And it was creating strife. It was creating divisions. They were of a wrong spirit. They may have received Christ into their heart, but they didn't realize they were persecuting the church. And Paul was a mad dad. These people that he had gave his life for, more so that Christ had gave their life for, some of them were hindered in their faith, getting pulled away from the man of God rather than listening to him. They were getting pulled away and started listening to these little upshoots. Some people come and they want to give us their what they think about this and their criticism of this. And what I want to ask, where's your fruit? What are you doing for God besides having panic attacks for the last 5 years? What are you doing for God? Who have you won to Christ lately? Because you're not going to win anybody to Christ by talking in their ear. Who are you laying hands on and they're getting healed? Because when you're only place in life is to cut people off at the pass and tell them what you disagree with about some other person, you're not going going to get them saved. You're not going to get them healed. You're not going to get them filled with the Spirit. But it's faith that works by love. Yeah, I'm happy. Because it's happening here. It's happening here. But there are people who've been drawn away, and we can't focus on them, but we pray for them. There are two individuals God has been dealing with me, you know, do something, and it just shows my love for them.
Amen.
Shows my love for them.
Amen.
No, I don't agree with what they're saying and doing, and actually I take authority of that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I didn't even plan on going this direction, but the Lord started showing me the whole book. Paul is trying to keep them from going this direction. In chapter 3, again, Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, I want you to go to chapter 4 because I want to talk about something here. Actually, let's go to verse 4:21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. In other words, the carnal nature, it's an example of the carnal nature. And he of the free woman through the promise. It's an example of the age of grace and the Spirit of Christ. Verse 24, which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. That was the lady. Well, actually, let me go on. I don't want to lose my place here. All right. For Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all.
Amen.
Because we're in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, O barren. You who do not bear, break forth and shout. You who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. There's a lot of people out there saying things that don't have Christ or aren't living for him, but we do.
Right.
Now, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Now, I want you to go back to Genesis because we're just going to quickly understand the background here, because I've read through that and I didn't always understand it, you know, when I was a younger Christian. In chapter 16 of Genesis, thank you, Lord. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. How many know that was her plan and not God's plan?
That's right. That's right.
That was the Ishmael.
Yeah.
That's where Ishmael came from. Isaac came as a result. God came to Abraham. Let's look at chapter 17, verse 17. Actually, verse 16. God was telling Abraham, and I will bless her, Sarah, actually. By that time, they were called Sarah and Abraham. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Hagar wasn't going to be so. That wasn't God's plan.
Right.
Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Yeah, that was a man of faith and power. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, He was pleading for his other son. There are times when, God, but what about this thing? What about this project? What about this agenda that I've been pushing? What about it? And he's saying, what about it? It was never of me. You made that up. You went that direction. Now it's an Ishmael. But if you really want to get back on track, here's a Sarah.
Yeah, that's real good.
And we have to be willing to put it down. I mean, I go into meetings, special meetings, when I know that I'm going to be every night or every morning and night. I say, God, I put my agenda down. I'm in these meetings all week long. There's an extra sensitivity of the Spirit. We should be sensitive to the Spirit at home all the time, 24/7. But, you know, you get involved with natural things. So I put my faith, I put my agenda down. Lord, I thought I was going to Bible school. I thought I was doing this. I thought I was going to go into this ministry. I thought I was going to lay it all down. Because it may be a Hagar. It may just be something that my parents wanted me to do. Excuse me, parents. You know? But we ought not just be speaking, you know, little Johnny, I want you to do this. You ought to be a doctor. You ought to be a fireman. You ought to. Maybe God wants something else for him. Amen? Well, that was all free. Thank you for listening. Professional sports. Oh, I want him to be a football player, and then he's out of church every Sunday for the several weeks.
Come on.
That's all right. Matt and Katie don't mind me saying that, so don't worry about it. Amen. Moving right along. Let's go to chapter 21. Don't worry about that. That's why they're here. 21, verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned, talking about Isaac, remember? They had a child from Sarah, the plan of God. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing, laughing. Scoffing means he was criticizing. Well, maybe they shouldn't have had that program for Isaac right in front of them. That was Sarah's home. That's her. Well, that made her upset, and rightly so. Now, she's the one that brought Ishmael up in the first place, you know, so that was her problem, but she was dealing with it now and going the right way. So, you know, the persecution came to Isaac already in his own home by Ishmael. And Sarah said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Abraham was backtracking then. And the master was very and the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Well, you know, he loved his son.
Sure.
Sometimes we really love that Ishmael.
Yeah.
Sometimes we want that.
Oh,
we've been burping it. We've been putting diapers on it. We've been patent it for years. Our agenda, what we want. And finally God says, no more. This is what I want. And in verse 12, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yeah, women can hear from God too. Praise the Lord. It's the person that's in the right according to the word of God that you should listen to. It's not, oh, well, I should always just listen to my husband. I should always just listen to my wife. Are they being scriptural? If my husband asked me to jump off a cliff, am I just going to do it? Of course not. I'm not going to jump off a spiritual cliff either. I love him. I support him. Scripturally,
amen.
I support him.
Amen.
But if he asks me to do something that goes against the plan of God for my life, my friend, I've got to go God's way.
Amen.
And vice versa.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Remember, back to Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
we will give account someday to God, and we can't go to him. Well, my husband wouldn't let me go to church all the time. It's not going to fly.
That's right.
So let's go back. We were reading chapter 4. We wanted to get some background. Let's go back to verse 28. Now we, brethren, talking about Galatians, we, brethren, as Isaac was our children of promise, but as he who was born according to this flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, now listen to this in verse 30. What does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Well, that's mean. That's not politically correct. We're doing things that are too politically correct in our entire nation right now. Well, let's pacify this person. Let's pacify this person. And God's saying, throw it out. It's causing problems. It's your agenda. It's your Ishmael. Throw it out. It doesn't agree with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Well, praise the Lord. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm just preaching Galatians. Just preaching the book that God told me to. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, actually. Get mad at Paul. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away? How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? We're talking about, are we going to go with the Ishmael, which is of the flesh, or are we going to go with Sarah, which is of the Spirit? Are we going to go with the law? Or are we going to go with the glory? For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. In other words, righteousness through what? Faith. That excels. That's where we are now. I want you to go back real quick. To Galatians, I've got to read something here. Chapter 4, verse 3, real quick, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Talking about Christ. And because you are sons of God, has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That's what we live by. Not by the bondage of the law. But we live by the Spirit of Christ who lives inside of us. And we live by faith. In what he leads us to do. We live by faith in what the Word says, primarily that New Testament Word. The Old Testament isn't to be done away with. It's a shadow and it's a type of what was to come. And we live in the New Testament and we follow the Spirit of Christ, which is inside. And when he tells us to do something, we're obedient to it. Amen. So did you lose your place in 2 Corinthians? Go back there. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, expectancy, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. My friend, he had a glory about him, but how much more in this age of grace? With the Spirit of Christ living in us, not just upon us, but he's also upon us because it comes from within out. But their minds. minds were blinded, verse 14, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. There are still individuals who haven't received Christ and they're fuzzy in the head. But there are individuals that have received Christ, but they still haven't taken the veil off. They're still living under works. They're still living under the law. And there's strife and there's divisions and all these evil things and carnal things because we're new creatures in Christ. We're dead to strife. We're dead to those things. When somebody comes up to me and wants to talk in my ear and say, hey, you've got to be circumcised. Women don't got to be circumcised. You know what I mean. I'm just kind of making a joke there. But if somebody comes up to me and says, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do the other. Now, we have honor in the church. We have structure. We have rules. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater and be stupid in the midst. Amen. We have respect.
Yes.
There are still works.
Yeah.
Primary love.
Yeah.
But if we're not walking in love with ourselves,
right.
You're not walking in love with yourself if you're just allowing sickness and disease
That's
to
right.
be on your body.
Come on.
You're not walking in love with your neighbor if you're talking about them. It's a sad day, my friend, when somebody tries to go to church and then two people cut them off at the pass and want to gossip. And want to say things about the last church they left. And let it be known that the last three churches, they did the same thing. Criticizing, backbiting. And yet I still pray for them. And honestly, I don't even want to hear about it. Don't give me the details. Thank you. If it involves somebody in our church, I understand. I'll take authority over it in Jesus' name and they'll shut their mouth. If it's affecting our little ones. I had a lady come to me one day and she was crying. And she said, well, Pastor Debbie, I just have to apologize. I heard a bad report about you. And I'm thinking, what'd I do? You know, was I 5 miles over the speed limit? What was it? I'm sorry, you know. She didn't tell me. I'm glad. I didn't need to know. It's not my offense. It was hers. And even if it was something, it's under the blood. But, you know, I had to think about, well, what did I do wrong, Lord? What did I do? I didn't need that. I don't, you know, Pastor Nancy helped me tremendously. Somebody just, you know, with a kind heart of letting Pastor Nancy know that this person was offended. And Pastor Nancy said, yeah, I know. She left the church. And this person said, well, do you want to know why she was offended? And Pastor Nancy said, no, it's not my offense.
Come on.
Now, I'm sure that she endeavored to get to that person and reach out.
Yeah.
There has not been one person.
Come on.
Let me say it again. Not one single person that has left this church in offense that we didn't try to love on them. We didn't try to reach out to them. We didn't go we went to the hospital. We prayed for them and even got them healed. People have accused us of running people off, and they didn't know in the back room what we did to help them.
That's
they
right.
didn't know the money that we gave them.
That's right. Come on.
It's not my offense.
Yeah.
It's not my job to run after them. Run after this person because they're an offense. And then, okay, I got to run after this person. And then I got to run down here. And then I'm too tired to preach. So Paul was ticked off.
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians, verse 16, nevertheless, woo! Now we're getting to the good part, my friend. Nevertheless, well, it's all been good, but you know what I mean? When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When one makes the change, I'm not going to go that route anymore. I'm not going to be involved in the group of the offended. I'm not going to wear my chin on the floor. I'm going to stir myself up. It's not Pastor Debbie that has to preach and stir me up. I'm glad to do it, my friend. But I'm going to stir myself up. Not about gossip, not about criticism, not about sadness, because the devil, bless his holy name, has been chasing me all week. You ever hear a testimony about that? Well, the devil's been chasing me all week. Bless his holy name. They were trying to bless God, but in the midst of it, they're blessing the devil. Well, I'm going to get through with this scripture. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. See, we're talking about the Spirit of Christ. Yeah. Remember Hagar, which is of the flesh? Yeah. Sarah is of the Spirit. Yeah. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Go back to Galatians. Because Paul now he's wrapping it up. What's he been saying this whole time? Stand fast. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in what? Liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in criticizing. Stand fast, therefore, in gossip. Stand fast, therefore, in anxiety. Stand fast, therefore, in sickness and disease. Liberty. Say liberty. Say I'm free in Christ. I'm not going back to bondage.
I'm not going back with anybody.
But I'm moving on. This powerful force is moving on. Amen. I'm just a bus driver. I'm not going to let some barking dogs stop the bus. Yes, I'm answering it. Because God told me to go to Galatians. It's the only reason. It's the only reason. Because he told me to preach the book of Galatians. And the word of God answers. Hallelujah. Woo! Verse 7. Chapter 5, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. In other words, that's not from God. It's of a wrong spirit. He's called the D-E-V-I-L, devil. God is saying one thing, but you're listening to another thing. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you listen to it, my friend, you're going to be caught up in that bread, and I don't want to be there. Don't jump in the oven with that yeast. Amen? I have confidence in you in the Lord. Amen. He believed in him. Pastor Jay and I believe in you. You have the word of God in you. It makes our day to be able to come and preach the word to you, especially when you get excited about it. Some of you aren't so excited, but you're going to get there. You're getting it. Some of you have been through some hard times, been there, done that, had the t-shirt. I believe you're coming out. I believe you're making the right decisions. Some of you have been ditched by people that you love, and they decided to go the way of Hagar. But we're going to keep encouraging you, and you're going to see that the way of the Spirit is far better. My heart goes out to an individual that has been passed over for the carnal world. But my friend, God has more things for you in the Spirit than the world could give you any day of the week. We've had a taste. We just had these youth meetings and we had a taste. But there's more. There's more. Because it only grows faith to faith, glory to glory. Again, in verse 9 of chapter 4, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in what? Bondage. Okay, go back to chapter 5, verse 16. Paul's wrapping it up. He's telling you what to do. Actually, let's back up and go to 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty as an opportunity to the flesh. In other words, there's some things you got to do. But the number one thing, but through love, serve one another.
Hallelujah.
And this is summing up this book. In verse 14 of chapter 5, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, if we love Christ who died for us, we're not going to be talking about our neighbor. Maybe they did do us wrong, but I'm not going to contribute to their downfall. I will not contribute to a minister's downfall. I will not contribute to a congregation member's downfall. If there's something that I've got to say to somebody to warn them, that's one thing, my friend. If people call you up on the phone and they're eager to tell you, well, I'm concerned about somebody, you just pipe up real quick before they end their sentence and say, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your spiritual welfare. I'm concerned that I don't see fruit in your life. I'm concerned.
That's so good.
I'm concerned that you're spreading strife rather than saying, how are you doing in the Lord? You're not calling me to ask me how I'm doing in Christ. You're calling me to spread the carnal nature. If you want to call me and talk about the things of the Spirit, okay, that's what my phone is for. Otherwise, it's off limits. There are family members that I've walked in love for years, but it's been long distance. There have been times certain family members that I love and I bless and I honor, but sometimes 6 months at a time, I can't even be around them. Because if they want to choose that, if they don't want to honor when I'm in the room and they want to talk about somebody, and don't talk about my pastor. Because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the men and women of God in my life that have spoken. When I call people, it's not about I'm concerned about so-and-so. It's about spreading the love of Christ. In verse 16, and we're going to wrap up here. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is walking in the Spirit? I'm glad you asked. It's a place where you are more aware of spiritual and heavenly things than you are natural earthly things. When you're in that realm of the Spirit, you're not wanting to talk evil about people. When you're in that realm of the Spirit, you're crying, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to impart your love to these little ones? How do you want me, what do you want me to put my hand to at the local church that I can affect lives? Who do you want me to pray for at the grocery market? You know, I'll invite friends to come and be a part. And eventually he may say, I want you to go to the mission field. I want you to do this. But it's only going to come as a result of the foundation of walking in the Spirit. You go over to the mission field without a foundation of walking in the Spirit, the devil's going to eat your lunch. That's our heart to share with you. Don't go without a foundation of what good works, which is to primarily love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. The whole book comes, and this is summing up what Paul was talking about, those who are yielding to pushing the law, this is what they're yielding to. The works of the flesh. They just want to control. They weren't concerned about whether they were doing the right thing. They weren't concerned about the salvation of the Gentiles. They were only concerned about their own agenda. And Paul's saying, this is their fruit. So when you see this, know where it's coming from. Know what spirit it is of. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things, those who live them every day, they practice them, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. This is the fruit of those who are going with Sarah, who are going with the Spirit of Christ, who lives inside of them, who are of Abraham's faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's just not us saying, it's in the Word. Gentleness, self-control, against such there's no law. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we're using what we have, let us also walk in the Spirit. Use it, walk in it, and it will grow. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, stab him in the back. Talk about him. Contribute to their downfall. Contribute to the downfall of a church down the road because you don't like what the pastor says. There are things in the city I don't always like, but I will not contribute to their downfall, because if there's one or two or three or four things that they say that win somebody to Christ, thank God for it. If any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, it means to go alongside of them and help them. You can't do it for them, but you can go alongside. You can encourage them. Talk to them on the phone about the good things of God. There was a young one that was helping out in helps ministry some years back, and they had come through some amazing things. Got off different medications, emotional panic attacks and things because of the Word of God. And then there was another individual that had been in the way. They were in the way, all right. For years, had been a so-called Christian involved in the church. But they had a critical spirit. And that young one day they were helping them in a helps ministry position and talking against the word of faith. They didn't think Brother Hagin was listening. Well, what are you even here for then? Come on. And that young one fell. My friend, the blood will be on that person's hands. They will be accountable someday for that. How we use our mouth. We'll be accountable. I want you to stand up. In verse 4 of chapter 6, but let us each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We will be accountable someday at the judgment seat of Christ. Did you go the way of the Spirit or did you go the way of the flesh? Were your words in line with the law of love? It also says, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches good things, those things which benefit. That's what good means, good works. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We're still preaching the book of Galatians. I didn't change to my own book here. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Let us benefit people, especially to those who are in the world.
especially to those who are in the household of faith. I know I tricked you. I tricked you there. Yeah, we're supposed to walk in love with the world, but it's talking about those who are in the household of faith. Let it not be said that we let one of these little ones stumble with our words. Let it not be said that we contribute to the downfall of somebody else, even in another church congregation. Let it not be said, let it be said of us that we're helping others. Remember what we were talking about? If somebody's going to be in a helps ministry position, in a leadership ministry position, on staff, let's help them. Let's not be jealous. Let's not cause division. Because when we walk in love, my friend, when we humble ourselves, we only rise up. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and praise the Lord. I'm going to read this real quick in Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That means the word of God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another. Let us consider what we say. Let's not just fly off the handle with our tongue. Let us consider what we put our hand to. Let us consider what we yield to. Is it contributing to our children falling? Is it contributing to our friends falling? Is it contributing to our church in a negative way? Let us consider. Hallelujah.
If you would like more information about Pastor Debbie Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.